Joining us now, I'm pleased to say, is Michael Zayzaz. He is Deputy Global Head of Research and Co-Director of the Morgan Stanley Institute. A fantastic time to have you on set with us.
Yeah, what luck.
Well, let's talk about this Truth Social post, because as we were discussing with Kaylee Lyons, who co-hosts Balance of Power for us, you know, this seems to contradict even President Trump from a couple of hours ago in his own cabinet meeting, saying that he's not even sure if he wants to make a deal with Iran. A couple hours later, here we have an extension of that pause. What do you make of it?
Well, so I think big picture, okay, we have to have a real heavy dose of humility about what we think we know is going on. We talk to a lot of experts in the Middle East and the U.S. Our clients are talking to a lot of experts, and the common theme across that, the more knowledgeable people are, the less certain they are about what happens next. There's lots of paths to escalation. There's lots of paths to de-escalation. What does this headline tell us? Frankly, not a lot of new information. It maybe confirms that there are talks going on, but apparently we knew that earlier as well. So I think you have to think about a scenario-based framework for how to interpret all of this. And the short version, in terms of how our economists and strategists have put it together, is a real de-escalation that gets you back to the status quo ex ante, returns you to the status quo in terms of what we thought was going on with the U.S. economy. Good for equities. Bonds should rally from here. Go back to pricing in rate cuts. Something in between, more akin to where we are right now. But if we get some type of peace arrangement or sort of fragile peace, partial reopening, some oil moving through, maybe we've got to live with Brent around 100. But again, equities can rally because they've priced in a lot of bad news. Credit can hold up. Maybe bonds are moving sideways. It's that really escalatory scenario where you have to price in really more of a recessionary shock, right? If we end up with Brent sustainably 130, 150, which would imply that there's escalation and really kind of no end game to that escalation, that's when we have to start really thinking about risk off. And bond yields might move initially higher to price in the inflation, but we think they would start falling pretty substantially because then you have to think about real growth downsides.
I was going to say, I mean, why? When it comes to bond yields, we know that their reaction to this war outbreak has been to go straight higher, more or less. And, you know, it sounds like what you're saying is if we really flipped here, is if the growth outlook really darkened substantially, that maybe maybe the reaction that one would have expected would finally kicked in.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think there's a bit of a two-step going on with the bond market, which is we know if oil prices move higher, that's feeding inflation, not just at the pump, but it's also feeding into food prices globally. But then you have to ask yourself what happens after that, and our economists are pretty adamant that what happens after that is because you've got to substitute your purchases, there's demand weakness, that brings rate cuts back into play. So investors haven't fully moved through that notion in our view, and so it makes sense that in the short term bond yields could be creeping higher, but over time we think that's going to reverse.
Well, I'm just thinking through the fact that President Trump extended this deadline to the other side of Easter.
Yeah.
We'll be entering 6 weeks at that point, which is far longer than I think many people were anticipating.
Yeah.
The knock-on effects. How are you thinking through the knock-on effects of potentially a closed Strait of Hormuz for 6 weeks and how we can get back?
Yeah, I mean, it's an important question, right? Because if we just got back to normal, quote-unquote, tomorrow, it's not as if all the supply would start flowing immediately, right? There's almost certainly some shuttered supply, and that's why our oil strategy team is looking at a forecast for Brent that would be around 80 as opposed to, you know, 20 bucks or more lower than what you had before. So there is going to be this kind of lingering inflation plus up that has to be added to where we think CPI is going to be over the course of the year. Part of the reason our economists pushed out rate cuts until...
请关注公众号思维纪要社，更多纪要请加 VCN20210130。
Later in the year. But because the U.S. is a net oil exporter, there's some of that inflation pressure there, but it's not enough to create real growth downside. So it's a little bit of inflation higher, but it doesn't derail the growth story.
One of the things you mentioned earlier was priced in.
Yeah.
If we do see a de-escalation take place over the coming 2 weeks, where do we get back to on benchmarks? Are we back to all-time highs, or are we slowly creeping to where we were a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, not immediately, but the way our equity strategy team and our equity strategist Mike Wilson's thinking about it is that you coming into this event, you already had a pretty substantial amount of multiple compression. You had, you know, half the Russell 3000 was down by more than 20%. And so you had a fair amount of bad news already priced in. So you could sort of snap back a fair amount of that. You now do have to work through the system, somewhat higher inflation, maybe a little bit lower on growth. So you're not going to snap back immediately to where we think the trajectory was. Nevertheless, we think the price target in that hypothetical would still be for pretty substantial returns on a 12-month basis.
And I do just quickly want to talk about credit, because you mentioned that, I mean, there's a room, there's an avenue here for credit to outperform. You know, yeah. Some folks have raised the idea that maybe credit has been a little bit complacent through all of this. I mean, yeah. When you put together all of the different cross currents, where does that leave you on credit?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you think about like publicly traded credit, right? So if you end up in a scenario where oil is higher than it was and it has to kind of sustain at a higher pace, that does tell you that there is, again, there's a bit of growth downside, there's more inflation, maybe some negativity has to work through earnings. However, and this is generalizing, but the cash flows of companies could still be quite robust. So what is owed to the bondholders is also still quite robust. And you can see this, our cross-asset team did a very nice job looking at the sensitivity of credit spreads to oil prices historically. Mm-hmm. And when you end up in this kind of elevated but not, you know, escalated to the point of demand destruction on oil prices, that's when credit actually tends to perform the best, or at least hold its tight valuations the best.
All right, Michael. Great to have you with us. That is Michael Zaisas. He is co-director of the Morgan Stanley Institute.